It's been a precious worship service. We're few. But I thought of Micah 5. You looked at Bethlehem, though thou be small, out of thee. And so that is an encouragement to my heart. We are in days of change. I remind you that we are in times of our national restoration. We are watching it. And it's almost unbelievable, the rapidity of all of it. But God has to be in this for that to move like it moves and things to fall like they fall. There is indeed a divine hand behind these restoration times. And I believe that will be true for the church. I believe we're already seeing certainly a move of God into the kingdom of God. There's just no doubt about that. But also a move coming for the church. And this is going to be a special move with the emphasis on the bridegroom cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And that's a different message than behold, the king cometh. It truly is. But the bridegroom, we have that promise. He's going to come and receive us unto himself. And that we need a preparation for. The church will need that. In the day that we live, we're down in the seventh stage of apostasy. And it isn't even a question in my heart. There has to be a tremendous move of God's Spirit. All of this is in preparation of Psalm 75. Promotion cometh out of the north. Our Lord's eventual promotion. Think about that. Those are the times, the greater times of restoration, when he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I have been speaking, and I'm going to continue this morning in Isaiah. And I gave a chart there with the facts of Isaiah. If you need one, they're on the altar there. I'll ask different ones. Please, if you don't mind keeping these in your Bible, they will be a blessing to you. I don't know when I'm going to get out of the book of Isaiah. It's just, what can you say? When the Lord laid on my heart a word in season to him that is weary, it came expressly, I believe, from Isaiah 50 through 53, four messianic chapters. This is a great book of redemption from beginning to end. Isaiah was a great prophet of redemption, and he ministered some 60 years. He was ministering redemption to Israel. He ministered clearly that the first advent and the signs thereof, but he also ministered the second advent of Christ. Isaiah is a miniature Bible. Have I said that each week? 66 chapters. Go through, you will find that they correspond to a book in the Bible. They do. It's just uncanny almost. But I think, again, of Isaiah's end. And this chart is so full of information. I hope you will treasure it as I have learned to do. And the end of Isaiah was probably something hard to bear for many, that he was really sawn in two. Now you think about that, but I really do believe that was a sign that Israel, he would come at the first advent, but Israel didn't receive him but they will finally in his second advent. He's the first one really that prophesied of Babylon 96 years before they went into captivity in Jeremiah 25:11. So this book is just, I can't put my arms around it, and I'm trying to minister it. So it's been a real time for me. But when I thought of his body being sawn in two, I thought of our Lord's broken heart over Israel. Very few people comprehend that because they just have written Israel off in their theology. But it's not true. Our Lord suffered a broken heart over his rejection. And yet, Israel had been promised redemption. And I'm going to look at Isaiah. I won't go to the first chapter again. The description of the great apostasy of his day was so great. Thank God for a remnant. How often we've quoted Isaiah 1:9. Isaiah 1:9. If it had not been. And it says the Lord left us a very small remnant. Now you're looked down on as to a small remnant. But here you're told in Isaiah 1:9, the Lord left that remnant. Amen. And I often wonder, Lord, how small and how cut back will we be? And the Lord just speaks in my heart. I'm looking for an agreement. I want all of your heart. Not just a part, but all of your heart. And that I believe God is working in each of us. I have a work yet for him to do that. But he wants all of our heart. And I believe that we're going to see him intervene on our behalf and for the church. But this time in between the first advent and the second advent, there was a great purpose of the church age. And that healed our Lord's heart. He said, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles." And that healed his heart. He was going to visit them. Never ever go beyond that. It's a visitation. To take out a people for his name. And that's found in Acts 15. And the word take out is ecclesia, the church. It also means that he's going to take them out. A great promise of the rapture is right there at Isaiah 15. He's going to lift them out of this world. He's also going to take his bride out of primarily out of the Gentiles. I don't exclude people of the Jewish race that have come to Christ, not ever, because there are many of them. But you think about how his heart was broken when he had to turn to the Gentiles. And if you're a student of the Old Testament, and we all are in a major, how could that so much be written to one people and God forget them? For heaven's sake, think about the theology that is blanketing the church today. The covenant theology is one of the most damnable things that I know, to say that Israel has been replaced and the Gentiles are going to bring in the kingdom. Never will the Lord forget them. He's only visiting to take out a people for his name. And I'm glad for that visitation, because we wouldn't be where we are today. Just think about it. If he hadn't visited the Gentiles, the sea, when he went out in Matthew 13, he went out from the house of Israel and sat by the sea. Then he will begin to understand the great parables in Matthew 13. There is a gold mine in those parables. If you have never studied them, and they are on the school of the Bible, there's a gold mine of the knowledge. Oh, hallelujah, the knowledge that the Lord had. Do you realize he had this before he went to the cross? Then you marvel at his, what knowledge he had. And in those parables, one of them was indeed the pearl of great price. And he went down to seek pearls. That's the body of Christ. But there was one pearl that caught his attention. And I believe that was a healing for his heart, that he was going to find the one to which he called his helpmate. So this season of the church, we receive, we understand, but we will never, ever, ever forget Israel. Don't ever buy into anyone that's teaching that, and stay far afield from it. Now, the darkness that fell in Isaiah 1:9, I don't believe I have those charts this morning, but we think about what this little remnant stood with. They stood all the way through till the captivity. And that's so these messianic promises could be fulfilled. You see, many were delivered here early on, and we're going to be looking at them. But I thought about how dark it was when our Lord came into this world. I gave that study last week because Isaiah finally was given away to Jeremiah and to the prophecy of Babylon. Then it went into four kingdoms that ruled over Israel. Now I ask you, how dark was that? If it was dark in Isaiah's day, how dark was it? Then I ask you, how dark is it today? If you grasp that, you'll no longer smile or make fun of a small remnant. You won't. And one day the church won't. One day they won't. But today they do that. They have no idea that a small remnant in the darkness is holding the truth. The everlasting gospel, the everlasting one that came in Micah 5, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, praise the Lord. They will be so thankful that you stood in the gap and made up the hedge. They will. One day they will thank you. They will. Until then, we have examined briefly the first advent of Christ. I'm not going to speak on that. But to realize God only dealt with individuals. The closest he came to a system was Zacharias. And while he was performing his time he did in the temple of that day, an angel appeared. But Zacharias was not even able to speak. And you think about that sometimes. Sometimes God sends that as a sign. And I often wondered about that. Because he would have told everybody. You know he would have. But the unbelief was so great. The Lord reserved that message for Zacharias and Elizabeth. And then the angel appeared, of course, to Mary. You just think of the individuals that received the Lord during that time and were prepared vessels. It's just, I thank the Lord for every one, single one of them. Think of Anna, Simeon. Think of all that participated in his birth. And thank God for the shepherds. There were a few shepherds that attended that wonderful, glorious time. And so we've been speaking a little bit on Jesus of Bethlehem. And I believe you can give him several titles, and we will. But it's going to start at Bethlehem. Has to. I have a message. I'm going to try to give it. Isaiah 7:14. If you don't grasp Bethlehem and the first advent of Christ in that measure, you're missing one of the greatest revelations ever. Reading 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Prior to this, look at Ahaz. He was the king. If I'm correct here, it was out of Hezekiah, I believe. But he was a king in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now that sounded like humility. But notice the response. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Now ponder that for a little while, and you realize that there was something there the Lord was dealing with in Ahaz. Because that's the first thing you would say. I will not ask, but God wanted him to ask. And then he says, I'll give you the sign anyway. I almost feel like that with this generation sometimes. I'm going to give you the signs anyway. How few. And he is. The signs are coming all over the earth. We're seeing them. We're going to see many, many more. But sometimes I think all of us weary the Lord. I do. And the Lord himself then will give a sign. Now, I thought about all the women in the Bible that were barren. I'm not speaking on them, but you know them. I have a few here. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth, and I'm sure I've forgotten a few in there. Yet God quickened them mortally. Their wombs were quickened to receive and deliver a birth. Certainly, Sarah begat Isaac, and Rachel, Jacob, and then Hannah, Samuel, Elizabeth, John. But God quickened their mortal womb. But in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth was not only something that seemed impossible, it was impossible. It is different than Sarah, even though Isaac was a wonderful type. It is different than it was with Rachel or Hannah or Elizabeth. This is when God was going to become a man. God himself was going to be behind the virgin birth, the conception, Emmanuel. It was not only just something you just wait and think will never happen. It was impossible. And the name of it is God with us. I think about that so much. Do you think that this was the John 1, the Word made flesh? But it was also the Genesis 1 creator, the Word. Don't ever allow anyone to call the Lord Jesus before his conception. That's one of the great errors today in our seminaries. He was God the Creator, the Word in the beginning, Genesis 1, and the Word was made flesh. Theology book after theology book, and I've studied many of them. Every one of them will say he was the eternal Son. That's not true. See how a little bit of leaven can change something. But we would never be able to say the words God with us. God with us. Oh, you're not alone this morning. God is with us. Amen. He's with his church. He's also going to be with Israel through dark times. And I remember when Jerry's brother was at the seminary in Boston, and it was a very prominent seminary. I have it written down here somewhere, Gordon Conwell. And I heard of one teacher that spoke a message, and he wrote it in my heart. I've never forgotten it. How many years has that been, Jerry? Years ago. Do you know when God speaks to you and writes in your heart, you don't ever lose that, or it changes you? But he gave an illustration. If that was God in the birth canal of a virgin, it will change the world. And it did. Our calendars changed, and redemption will be offered. But if you can ever give a revelation of that, it'll change believers. I'm at the basic revelation. I know many of you have been in the way for many. I know that. But there's something here I want you to lay hold of. What is so great? It'll change you. It'll change your life. And that's what he said. If we could grasp this one truth. Otherwise, we just go on and realize, well, he's here, but that was God in the flesh. That was God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize the miracle? Isaiah 9:6, where we're given his titles. I'm only going to read one of them. For unto us a child is born. Underneath that it says a son given. That'll take you to the first advent of Christ. But it's not possible, if this was God in the flesh, if it was, and I believe it with all my heart, the work was already finished. The miracle already took place. That was the greatest miracle. Do you realize? If he wasn't virgin born, redemption is null and void. Resurrection, null and void. I think I said that. Do you realize that he could never come again if it wasn't virgin born? And he's not going to come in for the church, but he will. Do you see the unbelief sometime in our hearts that we don't grasp these very simple things? And I thought of the titles here. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now separate that. Unto us a son is given. A child is born first. A son is given. But this word wonderful, you know what it really means? Miraculous. Stupendous. Supernatural. You could go on and on. The one title, Wonderful, if this was God in the flesh. Please understand, he had no intention of his plan filling from that time on. that was already finished in his councils, but by the virgin birth was the beginning of that. Praise the Lord. What a great miracle. I'm trying to get out of Jesus of Bethlehem, and I haven't been able to do that for over a year. Because I want to know, I want to grasp it. I want a heart revelation of it. I want something that changes me. Amen? If it doesn't change you, something's wrong. It has to change you. And the revelation knowledge of that one would change you. Wonderful. And he has many, many other titles. I've often wondered, they all speak of David that took up 5 stones. And that was David, the young shepherd boy. He was probably young and by our counsel. But he went out to meet Goliath. And he took 5 smooth stones. And there are 5 titles here. But it only took one. Do you understand me? It only took one. And that was the virgin birth of Christ. It's the most stupendous miracle I know. And if you have been born again, you're a repeat of that miracle over and over and over and over. Oh, praise the Lord. How would you like to meet Goliath? He had wrestled with a bear, lion, and there stood Goliath. We're not so far from that today. I tell you, we're not. Goliath, he had the number 666 woven into his description. And we're going to face, and we are trusting the Lord to take us home before then. But think about that this giant was slain by the first stone. What was it? His virgin birth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then his marvelous work we will certainly be studying. And I think so often, Lord, enlarge my heart. I want you to start enlarging me. I asked that a few years ago. Lord, and he did. It didn't come the way I thought. But I want my heart enlarged. I want to lay hold of who you are. And I want it to change me. I don't want it to be speech. I can give you that all day long. But it doesn't change you. It wouldn't change you. You'll go back tomorrow and walk just like you did before. So would I. But the revelation that's given to us here in this child that was born. And finally, of course, he's going to be the son given. Many quote that, they don't realize it. Embrace Calvary. Certainly did. He was born here to die for us. Not to imitate him, not to be a good figure. Not to try to, most religion is an imitation of Christ. He was a good example. I'm going to be like him. Well, if he's not reproduced in us, there is no way we're going to measure up to him at all. And that was the beginning of the greatest miracle I know. So the 2 words this morning, Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with you. And he's not going to forsake one child that's truly been born again. Amen. That is not just I'm going to confess something and go another way. That is a birth. And if there's anything the church needs today and will need, as we're going through a time of shaking, I believe that's coming, I do. They're going to need to know that their new birth is eternal. that's got to be the basis of theology. I think it's going to be the basis of this move of the Holy Ghost. It has to be. You look at all those young people reaching out to the Lord. I do, and I weep, and I'm so thankful for it. God is moving. But if they don't have a foundation of some kind and the gospel given to them, they won't lay hold of the calling of the church by rank and order. But also they will doubt their salvation at some point. How many of you know you can go through a trial and if you don't have that foundation, you can wonder if you were ever a child of God? Now that's the kind of shaking that's probably coming to this world. And every child of God is going to need to know the great miracle of his supernatural birth. And every birth is supernatural. Everyone born again, it is a supernatural birth. Amen. And from the time you're born again, the Lord already knows what you're going to be and do. The work was finished. So I'm going to close in just a minute here. My time is... I just wanted you to grasp this one truth. I haven't really done it justice. But the two words, Emmanuel, God with us. And wonderful. Just grasp that one miracle. And give it to the church. Give it to believers. They're going to need it in these days that are right ahead of us. We're going to need it. And the Lord will bring us through. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to close just so I'm right on time, actually. Amen. Let's sing His Name is Wonderful. Now that, I hope that has another meaning to you. It does to me. It's wonderful what he has done and all that. He's wonderful. Every new birth, it's wonderful what God is. Sometimes when you're in deep trial, and I have been and you have been too, I thought, Lord, how wonderful you are. And even in the midst of those trials, you begin to lift him up. And you'll find out there will be a light. God will begin to lift your spirit because you are acknowledging from that moment on the plan of God was intact. And it never has been otherwise.
I don't know of anyone else that has that name. He deserves it. Praise the Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jolene, for that message. We'll see. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for your spirit. I pray, God, that you'll go with us. Lord, bring us back into this place. I pray that you bless each one that's here. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you and worship you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.